Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shivaradu Vacha Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vananam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktischen Navalakshana Krieta Bhagavati Adha Tanmane Ditam Uttamam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So, continuing 9 pages into the purport, we're at Padasevanam today. 4. Padasevanam. According to one's taste and strength, hearing and chanting and remembrance may be followed by Padasevanam. One obtains perfection of remembering when constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called Padasevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of Padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes, such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting places such as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Jamuna. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnav are also known as Tadiya Upasanam. This is also Padasevanam. The word Tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnava, Tulsi, Ganges, and Jamuna are included in Padasevanam. All these processes of Padasevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. So, going through the purport, and here also Prabhupada's indicating that these 9 processes are some sort of chronological order in them. So first you start with Shravanam, you hear a little bit, you're hearing some, and then you add in Kirtanam. So then you're having to learn some so that you can repeat it, you know. And then Smaranam, Prabhupada's talking even more. So that, you know, you're learning a bit more, so now we're getting to the practical application part. And whereas it's starting with Padasevanam, which Prabhupada is, which we also know is Tadiya, specifically serving the Vaishnavas, we can think of the devotees, the spiritual master. And so we've been, at this point in these 9 processes, we've pretty much got the 5 potent forms covered, right? We go, hearing, chanting, serving the devotees, or associating with the devotees. Studying Bhagavatam, and living in the holy places, so that, as Prabhupada's even saying, that even comes as a result of Padasevanam. Gradually one's going to visit these places. So, this very short section here, but there's a lot that could be said, and I have to apologize, I'm a little bit in a cloud here this morning, because she's giving me a little purification. But today, serving the devotees or associating with the devotees is such an important thing, and we sometimes forget that. We're sometimes a little, you know, especially when we're around devotees all the time, we start to think of them as ordinary people. You know, and we forget what a nice thing it is. Even though the devotees we're around, they may have imperfections, and we should be tolerant of that, because we certainly do. We're not perfect yet, and we make mistakes, and we have our terrible qualities that we brought with us from so many lifetimes in the material world. But yet we see that association with the devotees is what keeps us engaged in devotional service. And for those of us who are fortunate enough that we're able to be around the devotees all the time, we need to be appreciative of that. And for those of us who aren't, sometimes we see that, these people, and they have these people out in the material world, they're sometimes better than devotees. They have better qualities. Like they're more honest. Sometimes we feel, or they're more this, they seem to be better. Never mind, they eat, their whole life is based on sense gratification ultimately. Yes, they appear to be happier, they appear to be healthier or nicer, or maybe you can, engage in, more deep conversation, or they don't, gossip as much, and these things do happen in devotional communities. But then we begin finding fault with the devotees. Oh, okay, after 20 years, you're still this way, or 40 years, and we should expect better. But we that doesn't work. And then we become compromised. And we start associating with other people. And yes, they have some nice qualities, but then they have many other unfavorable qualities, which we then begin to take their association and those qualities then begin to affect us. So I was reminded when I was reading this, trying to think about this. There's also Rupa Goswami. He gives us the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. He gives us 11 instructions. That are also in chronological order. And they start with, controlling the six urges. To not just become a complete slave to your senses, right? To control the urge to speak, to control the mind, to control the urge of anger, and then the tongue, belly, and genitals. And that's the preliminary. That's the first step one takes in engaging in practicing bhakti yoga, is to learn to control those things. And by doing that, one is able to give some instruction, right? And then after that, then you've got the six things to avoid and the six things to add into your practice, so to avoid overeating, over-collecting, over-endeavoring for mundane things, which are difficult to achieve, following the rules and regulations for the sake of following them, or not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or not following the rules and regulations and giving them up whimsically. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's interesting in that one, kind of ties into some of the points that came up at the end of yesterday's classes. And then the Nyamagraha part, that changes. That's relative to where one's at in devotional life. So there may be some rules that one needs to follow in the beginning. And then, one maybe as they advance, what they're needing to pay attention to, it changes some. And maybe some of the rules they need to learn to not follow, to become less attached to that rule and follow some different sets of rules. And then giving up association with worldly-minded people, being greedy, and talking unnecessarily about worldly-minded things, to give those up. And then we move into the positive things, to be enthusiastic, to endeavor with confidence, to be patient, to engage in the nine processes of devotional service, or even the Goswamis, they extract out of these the whole 64 points of the whole 64 points of devotional service, and to give up the association of worldly-minded persons, and to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Or Prabhupada also says, "Satovrite," to be follow the path of truth, to be straightforward. So, and then after that, and we can then get to how we associate with devotees. We have these six symptoms of pratilakshana, of loving exchanges. Revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, offering gifts, accepting gifts, offering prasad, sharing prasadam, and accepting prasadam. And these six symptoms, these are the six symptoms of love shared between one devotee and another. And this is a significant component of our Vaishnava culture and learning to, or associating properly and serving the devotees. And, you know, and an interesting point also is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he comments in Asat Sangha Tyag in the previous verse, that he says, we need to give up association with worldly people. And, and he defines that association as these six loving exchanges, the giving gifts, etc. And so there's, we don't want to have a loving relationship with non-devotees. But yet there's this quandary that Mahaprabhu has given us the mandate that we must liberally distribute love of God. So then there's kind of a paradox, and one answer to that paradox there would be then we have such nice, loving relationships with the devotees that it automatically overflows. And then, like it's in the first year of Mahaprabhu when he was beginning to manifest his devotional pastimes. There was no preaching. There was just these nocturnal kirtans at Srivasa's house all night. And the people were wanting to get in. There's the Brahmin that wanted, that drank only milk. He wanted to get in. And then there was somebody else that had hid. And then Srivasa's mother-in-law, they wanted to get in. They wanted to taste it. It was becoming so sweet. And then after a year, it was like it was boiling over. Everybody wanted a part of it. So then the outreach, kind of fell naturally after that. And so I think, then one answer to that is to have such nice, strong, loving relationships. And I think for those who go out and they are regularly trying to engage in outreach and meet people and bring them to Krishna consciousness, I think my experience is that it's absolutely necessary to have these strong relationships. Otherwise, we do become weak. We start to lose a taste. We get, disturbed. Our previous desires that we thought we had conquered, they begin to show their ugly faces again. We need to. This association is just so important, right? It's like Nard Muni. What was he? He ate the prasadam, but he got to do a little service for the Vaishnavas, for the Bhaktivedantas. Therefore, he got the opportunity to become Nard Muni. And excuse me. Without this without the association. So, and another example that comes to mind is the Chaupati temple, and we've all heard, perhaps some of us have had the good fortune of going there. But that, you see that principle, of serving the devotees is the main principle they have there. But that it creates such a wonderful atmosphere, And there, I remember my first stay there, 15 years ago. I stayed there, and I also went to Vrindavan and Mayapur, and the experience in Chaupati outweighed the experience of Vrindavan and Mayapur combined by far. Because it's just the mood of serving, everybody being, so often we think, okay, we do all this service, and then what about me? But when everybody's thinking of serving everybody else, then you don't have to worry about you. That's the nice, could you imagine? Everybody's too worried about taking care of everybody else, and what a... what a nice atmosphere that creates, and then naturally you don't have to worry. I mean, like they were, arguing over doing each other's laundry. It was pretty wild, And even in the material sense, I had the most miserable experience I've ever had there. I came down with malaria just before I was about ready to, to head back to get on the plane back to the States. But it was actually a wonderful experience, even though I felt like, dying sounded like a great option. I felt so my body was so sick, weak and nauseous, freezing cold even though it was 80 degrees out, headache, all that stuff. But the devotees, it's like, okay, I get up from home. I was staying in the Brahmacharya Ashram. I approached one of the men. I said, Prabhu, I feel really bad. Can I go back to sleep? Would that be okay to miss Mangal Arati today? And he said, oh, well, what are your symptoms? Oh, it sounds like malaria. Yes, go lie down. And then after Mangal Arati, he comes with one of the doctors from the hospital. Here's some medicine, take this medicine. And I basically slept all day, but they woke me up to to talk with me so I could at least chant bad rounds, but at least get my japa done. You know, washing my laundry, you know, bringing me some food, and you know, helping me walk to the bathroom. And I'm kind of a big guy for, you know, most Indians. But you know, it was a very wonderful experience to see the loving exchanges. And so the more we can create that, you know, then the more wonderful, you know, and then people are naturally going to want to be a part of our society. You know, I think sometimes, you know, they come in contact with devotees, especially older devotees who have, you know, tend to be a little bitter and kind of burned, and you know, their expectations have been unmet at different times. It's like, you know, it's like the city, the society of the International Society for Fault Finders, who are, you know, critical of everybody, and we have to be careful of that. I'm also guilty of that. We tend to think that we've got the right answer, and everybody, you know, something else is wrong. But we, you know, and so we have to. Therefore, we have to the guhyamakati prichiti. We have to be, you know, have the confidence to share our minds. Therefore, we share what's on our mind, and then devotees can help keep us. You know, we have to, you know, help keep us from going astray, because it's so easy. Right? It's so easy. You know, there's so many things that seem spiritual. You know, we can do this. You know. You know, this is, you know, it's so easy to get mode of goodness mixed up with spiritual. You know, and especially when we're trying to be creative in our outreach approaches. You know, we need good. I'm speaking from my own perspective. I live in Boulder, Colorado. It's an ultra liberal, new agey, full of Mayavad influenced town. You know, there's tons of people do kirtan, you know, if it's really kirtan, at least they like to sing different Sanskrit names. In our attempts to kind of extend ourselves to these people also, we need the association to kind of help keep us from getting too far out there. That was some of the things we were discussing recently, because, you know, many of us, it's very easy to get out there and then we don't come back. I think we talk about the bridge preaching. You know, we have to cross the bridge. We have to bring people back. But if we're not careful, we can just cross the bridge and then we stay. And then we kind of, you know, we have some knowledge, you know, we have some understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And we can start rationalizing this, you know, maybe making this excuse, that excuse. So we have to have a good association, you know, confident association. We can share our minds. And then, you know, hey, Prabhu, you know, you might want to be careful with this. You know, and also, then the other side of it there, too, is to hear. To also hear, especially, we may not, so that we can also give it, you know, catch other people when they're going astray, but also so that we can understand. Because maybe things is, you know, we're thinking from one perspective and, you know, ISKCON this, ISKCON that, you know, it should be, you know, better. You know, if I were responsible, if I were the GBC, I would make these decisions, and it's, you know, often not true. Because we don't have all the information. You know, when you're put in, you know, so it's good to have these forums, right, you know, where we can, you know, learn, you know, try to understand what other people are going through. You know, and some of the information maybe that we don't have, or some of the reasons. And it's also that there's the case that there's room for two rights, you know. One person may do something in one way, and another person may do it in another way, and that's also okay. You know, there's no necessarily one way to do things. But then also, you know, to practice these six loving exchanges, to give gifts. Some of us. I mean, I speak from my own perspective. I don't have much money. You know, for me to take this trip to California, it's like a 2 or 3 year adventure that I get to go somewhere like this. You know, but I could easily get stuck. Yeah, I don't have much money, so I shouldn't give. It's hard to give because I hardly have two kids, and you know, one just, you know, is in Europe, and it's like I gotta be able to have money to take care of her, you know, and stuff like that. Actually, I think it's the more we give, the more we get. You know, the more we're able to give, I mean, we find that Krishna somehow reciprocates. We try to give, You know, so we see somebody else in need and we give. We see that, you know, the deities need something, so we give, and then Krishna somehow takes care of us. So I can again say from my own experience, I've never had a lot of money and I've always been pretty poor, but I've always been taken care of. You know, I've never had to involuntarily miss a meal. I have a full wardrobe of clothes, you know, and I somehow, Krishna's, merciful. So we have, and prasadam, especially, and then the prasadam part, especially for householders, to invite people into our homes and to feed people and to, again, not worry, about how much we have to eat, to not be, to not think, oh, well, I only have this much money to spend on my groceries this week, and how can I afford to feed people? I don't know. I go through that every week, but we still have people into our homes, almost every Friday, And, we're always wondering, but yet somehow there's always plenty of food. Krishna helps with these things. And then that's the time that we, get to take advantage of, to be that. And, so this prasadam is really the kind of thing that connects the other two pairs together. And it's when we, can share our minds. We're having some prasadam, and that's what we can, that's what helps us build. Right? So I'm going to stop here a couple minutes. I was told to not go past 8:10. I see on that clock right there, it's 8:10 anyhow. So I'm usually pretty bad about stopping on time. So I'm going to try to be on the good side here. So does anybody have any questions or comments or further thoughts?
I wasn't sure what you said, but I thought you said that we're not supposed to have loving relationships, people who are not devotees. Could you explain on that?
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments like that in his book, Bhakti Loka, which is actually a section of 12 articles on the 6 favorable and unfavorable items of devotional service. And he comments that, and talking about asat sangha tyag, that one should give up the association of non-devotees. That he comments that associating means engaging in these 6 loving exchanges. And that, so we don't want to do that then with people who have, worldly people, because then we become, it becomes an obstacle on our path.
That means you just don't care for people who aren't devotees?
So that's the challenge, right? Right, so that was, so we do care, but, we have to care, right? Otherwise what kind of devotee would we be if we didn't care? Especially if we didn't see that these people are, suffering. Yeah. So, it's an awful challenge. But yeah, we do, right? Savas said something.
I would say, yeah, we care, but we don't want to have intimate association with them. I think the word intimate is extremely important. In other words, if you want to help someone, you can speak to anyone. You can be compassionate towards them. If they're angry at you, just say, please chant Hare Krishna. And just by them hearing that chant, they're becoming purified. So I think the main issue here is intimacy. You don't really want to associate intimately with a non-devotee, because you can become influenced and become overcome by illusion, by Maya, thinking you're this body. So we have compassion. My mother and father were not a devotee. I still love them. They were my mother and father. And I tried to give my mother and father a Krishna consciousness as much as I could. When I went to visit them, I'd cook, for them and make them prasadam. They would eat it. They'd become very pleased. But they never wanted to be a devotee, like take initiation, make vows. And so I even found myself that I wouldn't necessarily even associate with them intimately, sitting in a room and really discussing heavily about worldly matters, even though they may have wanted to. So I think the word intimate is extremely important. Otherwise, you have to associate. You cannot. If you're going to be a devotee in Krishna consciousness, you have to meet all kinds of people, people that you don't even know or care about, and you give them some mercy, whatever mercy you can give them, but you don't necessarily want to intimately associate with them.
Archita had his hand up first.
Hi, Rupa Prabhu. Thank you for a very nice analytical presentation. As you astutely pointed out, the crux of those six exchanges is prasadam. So this is where devotees run afoul, and it's been going on since the beginning of the movement. We like to feed people, and normally any ordinary person would want to feed you in return. So that's the crux of the whole thing. Do you accept when somebody wants to give you something? And Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, even your own family, when you go to visit them, you can take milk and fruits, nothing else. So sometimes you run afoul of that. Devotees, for instance, they have these like open kirtan parties and stuff, and anybody cooks something and bring it, and then you eat. It's not good. It's not good. Personally, I don't take. Even if I go to those events, I don't take things that other people make. I don't know how they made it, what they put, what the mentality is. You know, of course, when somebody's trying to become a devotee, you can encourage them. They have a home program. You tell them how to do things. They follow your instruction. That's a different situation. But when we go out to these open gatherings, and they call it potluck, and people bring anything supposedly vegetarian. No, don't take it. Prabhupada said, even your own family, don't take from. Take milk and fruits. Because devotees were going home for Christmas or whatever, and Prabhupada told them directly, don't take from your own family. Take milk and fruits only. So the prasadam is the crux of the whole exchange with outsider.
He had his hand up.
Yeah, association can never be stopped. We're always associating with this world in general. You can't stop it. But the key word, I think, is that we give our association, we don't take their association. When we associate, you know, it's, okay, you have something to give, and if you can give and they're receiving, you give as much as you can because you have something to give. But basically, they don't have anything to really give you any inspiration, anything good that'll advance them or advance you. So therefore, we give our association. But from devotees, we take association.
Yeah. My service, book distribution, so I know on book distribution, to get people to take books, you have to be pretty friendly. I don't think they're taking the books because they're so much, at least certainly not exclusively, out of their interest in the philosophy. For the most part, it's very, you know, their interest in the philosophy is very superficial, so a lot of it is just the, you know, you're being able to make a good impression by complimenting them and just joking around with them and like that. So, you know, I mean, if an external observer were to watch, they'd say that, wow, he's getting pretty intimate or confidential with them. I mean, he's being very friendly. But you have to do that in order to get him to take a book. At least that's what I find. So I find the key is that you got to stay on top of it. I know. I'm getting very friendly. I'm joking with them. They're laughing. I'm you know, hitting him in the arm or something like that. You know, I'm really kind of buddying it up with them. But I know, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And after 1 or 2 minutes, I'm going to say, you know, people just give a donation. Can you give a donation to help out? See, so as I know where it's going, and I'm on top of the whole thing, and I'm directing it. So, and like Ganesh said, I'm always giving them my association and basically not taking their association. So in that way, it's, even though I'm, superficially, it appears that I'm very intimate with them, I'm on top of the whole thing, and I'm guiding it towards the desired end, which is getting them to engage in devotional service. And I think even Prabhupada did that. And if you can read in the Lilamrita, there's even times where Prabhupada, you know, back at 26 Second Avenue in the evenings, would just kind of relax and talk about, you know, this, that, and the other thing with the devotees. It's right there in the Lilamrita. But then he'd always bring it back to the point, Krishna. You know, he gave him a little bit of slack there, and, you know, just, but then he was always in control. He's always on top of the whole thing. So I think that's a way you can be simultaneously intimate and, you know, really friendly and nice to the people, but, you know, you're at the same time, you're not being influenced or affected, adversely affected by their association.
And, of course, it's necessary also to have strong association. You know, I mean, Prabhupada was able to do it by our, you know, and he came over by himself because, you know, he was associating with his heart. But most of us are probably not on that level. So then we need a good, strong community, which we're, in most places, it's maybe not where you're able to associate on a daily basis where you're able to come to the temple, but at least we're having regular association. And it's so easy now, really, because even if we can't come to the temple, I don't get to go to the temple every day. You know, I go once a week. That's where I can, that's what I'm able to do with working and raising a family and trying to do my outreach and whatnot. But, there's, cell phones. You can talk to, cell phones and the computer and stuff like that. You can be associating with devotees anywhere in the world pretty easily, And not even Skype. You can talk to the internet for free to, anyone. I mean, it's pretty far out how, you can still get your association. And of course, there's reading also. But I think, therefore then we can give, as the devotees have been pointing out, our association to the others. And that's how it has to be. Right? It's a one-way, kind of a one-way exchange, and then they reciprocate, hopefully by becoming more Krishna conscious or doing things that become Krishna conscious, but trying to avoid doing the things which contaminate us. And then, it's actually looking forward in the nectar of instruction. The next verse talks about, not seeing the faults in devotees. That helps us keep in good association. Still, because when we start thinking, the Ganges, it does have bubbles, foam, and mud, like that verse says. It does look polluted sometimes, but, that's the material vision. So the devotees, they still have some of their faults, And some of those faults maybe just be their personality quirks that never really go away, and they're not really faults, they're just, idiosyncrasies. But we look past those things, because those are material, and we try to see actually what's in the heart, that this person is, because that's how Krishna sees. Right? Krishna doesn't look at our faults, he's looking to see that what we're trying to give, and how we're trying to become purified, how we're trying to surrender. And so we have to try to keep that in mind, even when, we got the devotees whose false ego is, doesn't work, mesh very well with my false ego, and that's going to come up. That's our purification, right? We have to learn to get to the Trinanapi platform. We have to see, even they've got good qualities, darn it, and who cares if I don't really have good qualities, I'm lucky.
Just a small tip. I was discussing this with a devotee yesterday. It helps when we're going to our families who are sometimes see us in such a familiar way that they don't want to hear anything we have to say, is to bring another devotee along. And that devotee can be a conduit for giving spiritual information. It's sometimes more accepted from the family.
Yeah, especially when it's your spouse. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.